The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, God will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to the devil, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to the devil, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve God alone." Then the devil left Jesus, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Who was the devil? What does the devil look like? Is the devil a person or a monster? Is it a man or a woman? Does the devil look like someone you know? Someone in power? Does the devil look like you? In literature and in popular culture, of course, the devil has been depicted as a bright red cartoon character with pointy ears and a tail. Sometimes also the devil is depicted as an angel expelled from heaven. Sometimes the devil is talked about in a spiritual sense as the impulse for evil that can reside within each one of us. But as I did some study for this sermon, I learned that sometimes the devil is also depicted as a dragon. And this got me very excited because I'm a big fan of dragons. Or perhaps I should say I'm a huge fan of dragon slayers. Some of you know I have a cat named George. George is named after Saint George, the dragon slayer, who is patron saint of Palestine. In Palestine, the dragon often currently represents the occupation. George is also the patron saint of England. And if you go to the cathedral in Stockholm, there's a huge, huge wooden statue of Saint George. And there, George is credited with saving the Swedes from the Danes. There are lots of stories about George. I have several icons of George hanging in my home, and I even have him tattooed on my arm. It's true. George defeating the dragon, whatever the dragon represents, and whether this story is true or not, has long been a story that has fascinated me and sometimes encouraged me. But I must say it completely changed my reading then of the gospel lesson for today to imagine the devil looking like a dragon, and to imagine Jesus as a dragon slayer. Scripture tells us Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. Now, when I'm famished, I'm usually not my best self. How about you? It takes a lot fewer than 40 days for me to get hangry. In fact, probably more like 40 minutes past my meal time that I was expecting. And for this reason, I've always thought about how unfair it was and probably intentional that the devil confronted Jesus at this moment when he was famished. But famished as he was, Jesus didn't let the devil get away with any of his tricks. He met each of those first temptations, which were based on scripture, with scripture of his own. And then finally, with the last temptation, Jesus looks the deceiver in the eye and says, "What you're not going to do today is tempt me away from my mission. You can have a seat." In other words, Jesus slayed the dragon. And this is encouraging to me, to think of the temptations in our lives of not only things that we must resist, but that we can slay. Perhaps Jesus wants it so weak then, after 40 days of fasting. There is something about going through a struggle or living through a liminal stage in life, for example, labor and birth, or sickness, or grief, or the end of a relationship, or a job transition, or a pandemic, for example, which can actually make us stronger. For sure, it opens our eyes to see ourselves and our lives and the world more clearly. The devil seems to know what he's talking about, doesn't he? Quoting scripture and all. But Jesus, even famished Jesus, even hangry Jesus, was also Jesus strengthened by that wilderness struggle. And Jesus saw that dragon for who he was, a deceiver and a liar. Using the powerful weapons of the word and Jesus' trust in God, he was able to slay that devil on the spot, telling him to sit down, be quiet, go home. Dragon slaying didn't end there in the desert, of course, because it was directly after this that Jesus went on to minister to the sick, the hungry, and the oppressed. Jesus went on to eat with those that no one else would eat with all those who were systematically ignored or persecuted. He went on to challenge empire, and then he invited those who would to join him in the good fight, the fight for justice and liberation and for love and for the building up of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Recently, I was talking with some clergy friends about the loss of battle songs in our hymnals. We no longer have Onward Christian Soldiers in our Lutheran hymnals. And also gone is the verse from Be Thou My Vision, which says, "Be thou my battle shield, sword for my fight, be thou my dignity, thou my delight." I don't disagree with this change. After all, for far too long, Christendom has been associated with empire and with wielding power over others. When I lived in Jerusalem among Jewish and Muslim neighbors, I was constantly amazed at how the Crusades are still talked about as if they happened yesterday. Memories are long, and those hurts are real. So goodbye, Onward Christian Soldiers. But it also occurs to me that there are times when we need battle hymns of some kind. There are times when there be dragons, and we need songs to encourage one another in the fight against them. Sometimes that comes when we sing "Away in a Manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head." But sometimes we also need "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And sometimes we need to sing "We Shall Overcome." I would dare say that this is one of those times in the world today. For there are real forces in the world for people of faith to contend with. There are powers and principalities swirling around us. We don't have to look too far. In Ukraine, in Russia, in Israel and Palestine, of course, right here in our own backyards, gun violence, the housing crisis, white supremacy, transphobia, a dying planet, the list could go on. There are so many dragons. Here be dragons to slay. We might need some good music to march to. Again, to be clear, I'm not suggesting Christians take up arms in the fight for the gospel. Jesus slayed the devil in the desert through scripture and verse and trust in God, not sword and shield. So what would dragon slaying and devil busting and death defying look like for us today? It might look like voting. It might look like praying for our enemies. Maybe it looks like intentionally raising our children to be accepting and loving of difference. Maybe it means liberating ourselves from our prejudices so that we can be free to work for the liberation of others. Maybe it looks like making art or writing hymns. This coming Wednesday, March 1st, just happens to be the day that the church remembers the hymn writer George Herbert. An excellent scholar, Herbert served briefly in the English Parliament, and then he became a parish priest. He was known for devoted care of his parishioners, but also for writing beautiful poetry and hymns, including one that you might know, "Come My Way, My Truth, My Life." He died at just age 40 in 1633. Now, I'm not sure anyone has ever marched to "Come My Way, My Truth, My Life," to be honest. However, I think that some of George Herbert's hymns have slayed dragons because they've helped provide solace and strength to countless Christians seeking the way to follow Jesus out of the wilderness and into our common mission to the world. I invite you to open your hymnals because I want us to sing that hymn together. It's number 816 in your hymnal. "Come My Way, My Truth, My Life." Dear siblings in Christ, you may be in the desert right now. You may have been in the wilderness a long time yourself, and you may be famished for love, for acceptance, for faith. But know that you are not alone and you're not powerless. And so keep singing and keep praying, keep speaking out. And whatever you have come through or you're going through now, know that it does make you stronger and makes you a stronger witness to the power of the gospel of love in the world today. And so today, I want to thank God for George Herbert and for Saint George and for all those who inspire us to keep up the good fight for justice, truth, and love. And especially we thank God for Jesus, our brother, our friend, our Savior, whose way led him out of the desert to Jerusalem and to the cross. And thanks to God for slaying the dragon of death when Jesus was raised from the tomb on the third day, granting us all life, liberation, and love eternal. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.